welcome to all my Late Night Mysteries listeners. Thank you for tuning again to today's episode. Today's episode, we have chosen an email from a listener who encountered a man whom he thought was dead a month ago. Little did he know that what he saw was an ethereal being known in some cultures as the Hantu Raya, an entity that provided wealth and protection back in the old days, but can be harmful and destructive if not taken care of and passed on properly. Even to this day, tales are still heard of people practicing the dark arts and keeping jinns to do their bidding, be it for eternal beauty, power, or generally superficial success. These spirit entities could only latch on to their new owner if their previous owners have died. There is a heavy price to pay, though, and woe to those who are stuck with them. I am Wraith. This is Late Night Mysteries.
Disclaimer, this is a work of fiction. Any names, characters, businesses, places, events, or incidents are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.
On today's episode, I will be reading our listener's email. This listener quotes, "Hello, Wraith. Please do not reveal my name. I encountered this frightening experience when I was only 16 after accompanying my parents to a house belonging to my late granduncle. I'll put him known as Toksiman, not a real name, and technically, was not really related to us by blood. I recalled my mother telling us that her great-grandfather had taken Toksiman in, an orphan who had lost his parents in the war and had taken care of him since. This was what happened when we were at his house a month after he passed away. It took Toksiman an extremely long time to pass on. For as long as I can remember, whenever we go visiting, he was either sitting blankly in front of the TV or lying weakly on the bed, managing a few mumbles and somehow able to fall asleep mid-sentence. He lived in an old, small, terraced house on the east coast of Singapore, the only house that seemed to stand the test of time as it squatted forlornly in the middle of bigger, fancier houses on either side of him. He had lived alone all his life, except for the last 5 years, when he had to be admitted to a home for elderly care because of his increasingly fragile condition. Throughout his stay at the home for the aged, my mother and her siblings would occasionally drop by the empty house to clean the front yard and air the house, just to give it a semblance of occupancy. they felt that although the house looked old and dilapidated, at least it would not attract unwanted attention and intruders. The news of his death did not come as a shock to us. He had suffered long enough, and his passing would mean that his will could be executed, one of which was to sell the house and the proceeds to be given to his chosen charities. My mother and her siblings were left with a substantial amount of money for looking after him all these years. Before the sale took place, my mother and one of my aunts decided to clean up his house one last time. I had tagged along because I had nothing else to do at that time. Furthermore, I thought it would be apt to have one last sentimental look before it would eventually be sold to a new owner. After sweeping the yard, I joined my mother in the kitchen, who was in the middle of an intense conversation with my aunt about the old antique plates in the cabinet and what to do with them. I decided that I did not want to be caught in whatever they were discussing, so I wandered alone in the backyard. It was the first time I had a really good look at the condition at the back of the house. Compared to its fancier neighbors, it looked old and unsightly, with peeling paint and green molds decorating the corners. The yard was overgrown with weeds and dried leaves from an old tree at the corner of the lot. A creeper plant that somehow made its way up one wall had almost covered one window. I knew it was Tokseman's window and walked over to peep in. The room was dark because of the creeping vines that covered the window, and there was barely enough sunlight to light the room. I cupped my hands around my face and pressed it against the blurry windows. The room was sparsely decorated. A bed against one wall, an old antique-looking dresser, and a heavy-looking cupboard at the other side, just as I had always remembered. As I was about to move, a movement at the corner of the room caught my eye. A figure walked in from the attached bathroom. He walked with purposeful strides to the dresser and stood still in front of it. My first thought was my aunt's husband, who could have decided to drop by suddenly. But this man looked too old to be him. What fascinated me even more was that even though he looked old, his walk was as steady as a man years younger than him. I tried to move away from the window, but found myself rooted to the spot. I felt my hands were glued to the window, unable to move a muscle. My heart started beating wildly as I tried to pry myself away. I am not sure if my struggles were obvious enough, but the next thing I knew, the man at the dresser walked slowly towards the bed on the wall and sat on it. As if that was not creepy enough, he turned suddenly and looked at the window. To be more specific, directly at me. It was then that I realized that the man was Tokseman. I had this image of Tokseman as a frail old man, confined to his bed and would need assistance, even to lift an arm. Oxman in front of me was dressed in black with a red cloth belt tied to his waist. I could only imagine the powerful muscles rippling underneath the attire. My breath caught in my throat. No, Toksemon was dead. I was there at his funeral. He was safely buried. He could not be here. The figure smiled, an odd, twisted smile. I was panicking from my inability to scream as I stood there, my hands and face glued against the window. Toksemon stood and walked towards the window, right at me. Time seemed to stop moving as I fought my fear. This is not Toksemon. This is something else. Somewhere in my struggles, I heard the muffled sound of my mother calling out my name. Like being stuck underwater, I tried to locate and answer her, but my voice failed me. As Toksemon moved closer, I closed my eyes, too horrified to look. I felt myself shudder helplessly until I felt the hard smack of my mother's palm at the back of my shoulder. What are you doing here? Are you sick? You're sweating like you're the one doing hard labor when, in reality, you only swept half the front yard. She began. I pointed to the window. She peeked in and looked back at me with a questioning look. Toksemon is in there, I whispered weakly, finally able to find my voice. I knew I was about to get an earful from one of her endless naggings, but was taken by surprise when she pursed her lips and quickly grabbed me by my elbow. Come on, it's getting dark. Let's just leave, she said urgently. My mother told my aunt about what I had just seen. Before I knew it, we were rushing out of the house and locking the gates. As we drove off, I could have sworn I saw Toksemon at the front window, smiling at me with that crazy grin. Years later, I found out about the Hantu Raya that was kept by Toksemon. A jinn passed down from generations in his family that kept company with him. As he had no other blood relatives to pass it down to, he lived the remainder of his life like a living corpse, seemingly alive, but dead inside. I suppose Toksemon knew of the consequences. Thus, he made the decision not to sire any children. Perhaps to end the curse once and for all. As a Muslim, it is essential to adhere to the teachings of Islam and the Quran, which unequivocally forbid the practice of black magic and seeking help from jinn or any other supernatural entities. Seeking help from jinn or any other supernatural entities is strictly prohibited, as it can lead to association, shirk, which is the gravest sin in Islam. As Muslims, we should continuously strive to strengthen our faith, seek Allah's guidance, and rely on Him for support and protection. Trusting in Allah's wisdom and mercy is a fundamental aspect of our belief, and it is through prayer, righteous deeds, and adherence to the teachings of Islam that we find true guidance, solace, and salvation. That's all my story to tell, Wraith. Thank you for reading. Have a blessed day. and keep on doing your good work in producing horror contents. Out of love and respect for the person who had taken him as an orphan and had treated him as one of his own, Toksemon could have wished not to pass the Hantu Raya onto his foster siblings or their children. His direct ancestors might have used it for their own personal gain or as a means of protection against the unknowns back then. But the price is just too heavy a burden to pay. So, guys, if you want to drop us feedback or have any stories to share, email us at latenightmysteries@gmail.com. Alternatively, you may send them to our Late Night Mysteries social media platforms on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow and share our podcast on Spotify and all our social media platforms as mentioned. Once again, I am Wraith. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Mysteries.